Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Sadi Dal. We're on Sadi Gimel Mid Beis, 11th Perek of Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek. So as you know, as you've been with us now for the last couple of days, this is all Divrei Agadata. And yesterday the Gemara was speaking out the episode of Hanani Mishael v'Azariah. Yesterday's daf almost exclusively dedicated to this topic. We are historically between Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, I'm sorry, and Binyan Bayis Sheni, after destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, so the Jewish people were sent into exile. Actually, there were two waves of being sent into exile, but as part of the people who were sent into exile were young Jewish men who were very special, very unique people. So notably Daniel, together with his three counterparts, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. The Gemara spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the third paragraph of Daniel, where Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were sent into the Kivshan Esh. They refused to bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And as a result of that, so he threw them into the fire. They survived in the fire. Gavriel was together with them in the fire, the Gemara pointed out yesterday. And there was also some Nevi'i Sheker who were also thrown into the fire as well. They died, even though they chose, as we learned yesterday's Gemara, they chose Yeshua Kohen Gadol to be with them in the fire. Yeshua Kohen Gadol survived the fire, but they themselves did not survive the fire. They were Nevi'i Sheker. Okay, this is all what we encountered yesterday. We also noted yesterday that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, together with Daniel, were descendants of Rus, at least according to one opinion. They were descended from Rus. We know that because Boaz gave over to Rus six barleys. That's very strange. Noted the Gemara yesterday, it's if it's just barley, it's not a lot. And if it's just corns of barley, that's really nothing. And if it's six saw, that's also hard to imagine. The Gemara says it was a remes. It was an allusion to the idea that there were going to be six descendants coming out of Rus, each one of them having six brachas with them. And the six descendants were David HaMelech, Mashiach, and Daniel, Mishael, Hanani, v'Azariah. Okay, so those are the six descendants. And we went over yesterday how each one of them is given six different brachas. Okay. With all that stated, we are now on the Gemara in Sadi Gimel Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. It is the second very wide line of the Amud at the end of the line Vayihi. And the Gemara goes on to describe Vayihi Bahem Mibnei Yehuda, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. The Pasuk is in the beginning of Sefer Daniel. It's in the first parak. And Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kulam Mibnei Yehuda Him. So according to Rabbi Elazar, they're all from Bnei Yehuda, which actually works in synchronicity with what we learned yesterday, that they were descendants of Rus and Boaz. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmina Amar Daniel Mibnei Yehuda, Hanani Mishael v'Azariah Mishar Shvatim. And there is a dissenting opinion that Daniel was from Yehuda, but Hanani Mishael v'Azariah were just simply from other tribes. The Gemara doesn't tell us which ones, but the Gemara just simply describes it as Shvar Shvatim. The Gemara quotes another pasuk. This too is from Sefer Daniel. This is in the third parak. This is the parak, the third parak, in the one which is the one that describes Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah. Bebnecha asher yetzeu mimcha asher tolid yichu v'yu sarisim b'heicham melech bavel. So in this pasuk, the Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah were described as sarisim. They were described as eunuchs. Now Rashi over here points out that this doesn't work with one of the opinions that we saw yesterday. Meaning, what was the epilogue of the incident of Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah being thrown into Kivshan Ha'ish when it happened to them? So the Gemara has a couple of conflicting viewpoints in terms of where do they end up. One position we learned yesterday is that they made Aliyah, they went to Eretz Yisrael, they married women, they had children. So if the Pasuk over here is describing them as sarisim, as eunuchs, and generally speaking, that means that they're ill-equipped to have children, so then Rashi points out that this position over here will not work with what the position that we learned yesterday. Okay. My sarisim. But the Gemara now wants to know, how do we understand that? Meaning that these people, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah, described as sarisim, is that to be taken literally, yes or no? So Rav Amar sarisim mamash. So Rav says, yeah, it's to be taken literally, meaning they were sarisim, they were eunuchs. Rashi over here on the very top of the Amud points out, why do we always find this? Why do we always find that the people serving in the king's court are eunuchs? So if you look at the top Rashi on the Amud, remember, no Tosfosim over here. Rashi covers both the right and the left-hand columns. I'm on the top of the left-hand column. Rashi writes, Sarisim Mamish, Shesirsu Lechanei Mishael v'Azariah. So, Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah were turned into eunuchs. Shekein Darkim Shel Malachim Lasaris Etz Adam Kidei Shelo Yisa Isha V'Yipanu La'Avodas HaMalach. So, Rashi points out, it makes you singularly focused. If you are a eunuch, that means you're not going to get married. and therefore you are going to be singularly focused on serving the king. I'm sorry, banim avanos. And Rashi points out what I already pointed out, but I only got it from Rashi, and that is that this position will not work with the position we learned yesterday, that they went to Israel and they had children. Back to our Gemara, Rabbi Chanina Amar, she starts of Rezar B'Yameim. And Rabbi Chanina says, no, the word Siris over here is not to be taken literally. It does not mean that they literally were eunuchs, but rather the Siris over here means that there was no longer any idolatry during their day, meaning Chanani Mishav Rezariah was so good in demonstrating, making a Kiddush Hashem, by not bowing down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. So Avodah Zarah had a serious, they broke a serious trend in Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara goes over the strength and the merit of each of these positions. That Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were either literally sarisim or it was figurative. Bishlam alaman damashin isar Avodah Zarah b'yamei ma'inu dichsiv v'chaval lo aisi bahon. So the Pasuk in Daniel actually works out very good because the Pasuk describes how they were not physically affected. However, if you say that they were actual eunuchs, it's literal. So then the Pasuk describes as them being not having physical blemishes, but that's not true. They did have a physical blemish. So the Gemara says, Chavala de Nura. No, the Gemara says the Chavala over here is understood as the fire. They weren't hurt by the fire. Vaksi v'rech nur lo adas bahon. The Gemara says, if again, going back to the Pasuk in Daniel, it says that the smoke didn't affect them. So the Gemara says, lo chava v'lo recha. The Gemara says, okay, that's fine. So we just simply put the two psukim together, meaning they weren't hurt by the fire, nor did they even get smoked by the fire. They didn't even smell of smoke as they came out of the fire. The Gemara points to the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. This Pasuk in Yeshayahu we're familiar with. This is the Haftarah of every fast day. So the Pasuk in Yeshayahu describe the Sarisim. Asher Yishmeru Shapsosai. Now, the Gemara here's understanding is that it's not just talking about generically Sarisim, but specifically speaking about Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And it says how they were Sarisim. Now, clearly the Navi Yeshayahu is trying to praise them. So the Gemara says it makes a lot more sense than when we describe them as Sarisim, it's metaphoric, it's not physical, it's not actual. Because the Pasuk in Yeshayahu is going to praise them, and at the same time also refer to them as Sarisim, that's strange. So the Gemara asks exactly this question. How can the Pasuk in Yeshayahu be describing Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah in seemingly a flattering way? And oh, by the way, they're also Sarisim. So it's just strange. So the Gemara says, Havaha Havabuhu. So the Gemara says, no, they both broke the trend of Avodah Zarah, and also at the same time, they're also physically eunuchs as well. Again, going back to the Pesukim Yeshayahu, the Navi Yeshayahu describes how they had Yad Vashem, they had a name and a reputation, and it was better than children. Certainly sounds from the Pesukim they didn't have children. The Gemara says, if you, however, subscribe to the viewpoint that it's metaphoric, and that they actually had children, how do you understand the Pasuk in Yeshayahu? I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, mi banim shayu lahem kvar v'mesu. So the Gemara says, well, here's what you could say. You could say that they had children, and the children died. And the Navi was saying that despite the fact that they had children and they died, still their Yad V'Shem, their name and their reputation, still exceeds that as well. My shame olam etein lo, asher lo yikares. Again, going back to the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, so how do you understand that it's shame olam, an enduring name? I'm Rabbi Tanchin Darsh Bar Kapar B'Tzipori Ze Sefer Daniel Shenikar Ashmo. Sefer Daniel was called Sefer Daniel, and that is the shame olam etein lo. I'm going to give him a great name. The him meaning of the four of them, Daniel is going to get the recognition. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah obviously were great tzaddikim and had a tremendous miracle occur on their behalf, but still, in terms of name recognition and credit, it's going to go to Daniel, not to them. Michli, kol mila de'ezra Nechemya mechachlai amrinu. V'nechemya mechachlai maitam alo ikrei sefer al shemei. Sefer Ezra Nechemya is not actually Sefer Ezra Nechemya. It's really Sefer Ezra. In fact, Rashi says it a number of times throughout the Gemara that really the name of the Sefer is, officially, Sefer Ezra. Okay, we happen to have later on called it Ezra Nechemya, but it's fundamentally Sefer Ezra. The Gemara wants to know, just like we learned together a moment ago that Sefer Daniel was called Sefer Daniel, not Sefer Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. So, and Daniel got all the credit, all the name recognition. Similarly, by Ezra and Nehemiah, so Ezra got all the name recognition, not Nehemiah. The Gemara notes, however, over here that it's definitely even stranger, because most of that which is reported, say for Ezra, was actually said by Nehemiah, not by Ezra. So the Gemara says, so how could that be? So the Gemara says it was actually an onesh towards Nehemiah because he took credit. And so when you take credit, so credit's not given to you. That's how these things work. The Gemara says, Zachra li alokai l'tova. So the Gemara says, remembering me, Akash Baruch Hu, for the good that I did. That's Nehemiah in attempting to take credit. So again, so you take credit, so you don't get credit. So David Nami, Meimar Amar, Zachrin Hashem Baratzon Amcha Pagdin Bishu Asecha. So the Gemara says, don't we find a similar pasuk by David as well? And so it's a little bit strange, meaning that we're condemning Nehemiah, but meanwhile we can have the same criticism on David. So the Gemara says, no, David Rachmehu Dekabai. So the Gemara says, no, David was asking for mercy, meaning you have to inflect when reading that pasuk correctly. He wasn't taking credit. He was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please remember me for good. So it was a tefillah, not an attempt to take credit. Rav Yosef Amram Nimnesha Sipur Bignusim Shovishonu. The Gemara gives another explanation in terms of why Sefer Ezra is called Sefer Ezra, not called Sefer Nehemiah. So the Gemara says, because he spoke disparagingly about earlier generations. Shenemar. Vapachos Rishonim Asher Lifnea Asher Lifanai Hichbidu Alam Vikhumayam Balach Mayayin Echad Kesef Shkalim Arbaim Vichule. So the earlier officers that came before me, so they were oppressive on the nation, and they took more than they should have. And not only did Nehemiah speak disparagingly about earlier generations, he also spoke disparagingly about Daniel as well, and Daniel was greater than him. Now the Gemara says, well, first of all, where do we get this? Where do we get this idea that Daniel was greater than Nehemiah? Dichsiv, I'm sorry, So the Gemara says, Daniel Hashem imo lo aval charada gedola nafla alayhem vayivrchu behechabe. So the Gemara describes how there was a vision. Daniel saw it. They didn't see it. That they were going to identify in just a moment. So the Gemara notes that Daniel saw something that even Nevi'im did not see. Vanashim asher yu imi lo ra'u samara maninhu hanashim. Gemara now wants to know who are the identity of these people that were together with Daniel. I'm Rabbi Yirmi Avitem Rabbi Chaber Abba Zu Chagai Zecharia Malachi. So one of the last, so some of the last of the Nevi'im, notably Chagai Zecharia Malachi. So they were the ones who were together with Daniel. They didn't see the vision. And the Gemara notes, Inu Adif Minevi Iu Adif Minayhu. So in a certain regard, they are greater than him, but he's greater than them. The Gemara goes on to explain. Inu Adifa Mine, we're on the very top of Tzadi Dalam at Aleph. So they're greater than him, Deinu Navi Viyu Lav Navi. Meaning Chagai Zecharia Malachi are Navi. Meanwhile, Daniel himself is not a Navi. Interesting, by the way. I don't know if we ever spelled this out, that Daniel's not a Navi. Okay, but he wasn't. He was a tzaddik, he was a Talmud Chacham, he was an advisor to Nebuchadnezzar, he was a lot of things, but he was not a Navi. V'iyu adif minayu di'iyu chaza, v'inu lo chaza. And yet he saw a vision that they themselves did not see, meaning the Nevi'im did not see. So again, just an interesting twist of the Gemara, that the Gemara in the same sentence describes Daniel as not being a Navi, but at the same time having some sort of vision. So it's, I guess it's just... It could just simply be that the seeing of one vision does not qualify you as a Navi. Meaning a Navi gets you to a certain status. Daniel never got to that particular status, but at the same time, he does have some sort of ability to see. So the Gemara asks a simple question. Well, then the pasuk that we read at the bottom of the previous summit doesn't make any sense. Describe me Chagai Zecharia Malachi having not seen the vision but being scared. Why should that be? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, they didn't see the vision, but their mazel saw it. So again, every one of us has like a physical component and a spiritual component, right? Our spiritual component sometimes is being described as a mazel, right? If you want to use more modern terminology, it's like our subconscious, well, however you want to describe it. But basically, so consciously they didn't see it, but on some deeper level they saw it. Their mazel saw it. So the Gemara says, so Amar Ravina Shmaimina Haimanda Mivai Safagav Diulo Chazi Mazel Chazi. Let's say you have an indescribable fear, meaning you get a panic, but you don't know why that is. How come that is? So the Gemara says, based on the Gemara we just learned, so we now have an explanation, meaning that you didn't see it, but some aspect of you, one that you're not aware of, one that you're not conscious of, so it saw it. Maitakanti, so what should you do? So in other words, so you have now an indescribable fear. You don't know why you're afraid, but you just got a panic. So what do you do? Lincho biduchli arba gemridi. So the Gemara over here says, one aid says to jump back for Amos and basically move from your spot. Moving from your spot will somehow assuage. Okay, I don't know if I can explain it any better, but that's probably because I don't understand this any better. Okay. Inami likri kriyashma, the Gemara says, or you could say kriyashma vi'i kaiba makapati nofis. Let's say you're in a place where you cannot say kriyashma, it's too dirty, it's too smelly to say kriyashma. Lemahachi, so then say the following, iza debetaf chashmena minai. You know, the goat in the marketplace is much fatter than me. So basically, you say to the, that which is scaring you, you know, go after somebody else, much better than I am. Yeah. Yes, that's correct. Okay, this is not the first time the Gemara brought this down. Okay. Lemar ba Mishra l'shalom en kates. Okay, you look at this pasuk. This pasuk is in Yeshayahu in the 9th parak, right? And the pasuk over here is a most unusual pasuk. I think it's the only time where you have a letter which really belongs at the end of a word in the middle of the word. What do I mean? 6 letters in the Aleph base where it has 2 different forms. The way that's placed in the middle of a word or in the beginning of the word versus the way it's put at the end of the word, meaning the sophist letters, right? So a mem, a nun, okay? So, right? So there's a ayin, pei. So anyways, there are 6 letters in the Hebrew alphabet where they have a 2 versions, whether it's placed in the middle or at the end of the word. So mem obviously being one of them. So the mem in the middle of the word is patuach. It's open, meaning it's not a complete circle, however, or a complete square. However, when the mem's at the end of a word, so it's a mem sophist, and it's a complete square. And if you look in the Navi inside, now if actually in the Gemara itself, at least in my Gemara, so it has it as a mem patuach. However, if you look in the Navi, it's going to be very strange. It's unusual. Where the Navi Yeshayahu, when writing the word limarbeh, actually has the mem of limarbeh, the second letter, not being a mem patuach, but it's a mem sasum, or what you and I would call a mem sophit. Okay? And that's strange, obviously. That's unusual. And obviously the Navi is trying to intimate something. What is the Navi trying to communicate? And here the Gemara begins. You'll notice that most of the mems in the letter are open. And this one, on the other hand, is closed. So here you have a statement, right, where basically, look, we know there's going to be Mashiach and we know there's going to be Gog and Magog. Right, there's some sort of Armageddon. And the Navi, when describing Gog and Magog, right, remember in Sukkot and Chol HaMoed Shabbos Chol HaMoed? So every Sukkot, Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, we're reading about Gog and Magog. Right, and it's by the way, parenthetically, there's no coincidence because Gog and Magog is represented by Gog, a roof. We're reading on Sukkot because on Sukkot we exist in a hut that has no roof. Okay, anyway, not for now. That's Drasha talk. Anyway, but the but Gog and Magog, the Navi, when describing this Armageddon, is nondescript, meaning that the Gog and Magog appellation can be given to whoever looks like they're going to be destroying the world. So in other words, Sancheriv could be Gog and Magog. And then the foil of the Gog and Magog, if Sancheriv were Gog and Magog, meaning in who would be Mashiach? So obviously Chizkiyahu, the king at the time, would be Mashiach. Again, just to get our historical bearings, Chizkiyahu was one of the later kings in Yehuda. In fact, we just touched on him when we started this parak because we noted how his son, debatably, did not get a chelek in Olam Haba. Right? His controversial son, Menashe, did or did not get a chelek in Olam Haba. At least that's what we discussed in the beginning of this parak. And when we move on later in the parak, we're going to be talking more about that, whether or not his son did or did not get. Anyway, Chizkiyahu was a phenomenal king. He reintroduced the Jewish people to Torah. In fact, the learning of Torah that took place during the generation of Chizkiyahu was unprecedented. You did not have as many Jews learning as much Torah as during the generation of Chizkiyahu. The Gemara is going to speak more about that later as well. So what happened during the days of Chizkiyahu is that the Assyrian king and the Assyrian army obliterated the entire northern kingdom. Sancheriv, who was the king of Ashur, descended from the north and took out the entire northern 10 northern tribes. We're going to be spending a lot of time today talking about Sancheriv and Chizkiyahu. Sancheriv then took 185,000 soldiers and was prepared to launch a campaign against Yerushalayim. Miraculously, the night before Sancheriv was going to come into Chizkiyahu and into Yehuda and destroy Yerushalayim, so all the soldiers died. Okay, and we're going to be describing that also in some detail later this morning as well. With all that as just the basic historical backdrop, so the Gemara now points out that there was a thought up in Shemayim that Chizkiyahu should be Mashiach and Sancheriv would be the Gog and Magog. And that, of course, would mean that would have been the end, meaning that would have been Yemos HaMashiach. That would have segued into Yemos HaMashiach. And so let's go back to the Gemara inside as I finish up our intro. So, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Chizkiyahu Mashiach V'Sancheriv Gog U'Magog. Amra Midas Adin Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Midas Adin approached HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, David Melech Yisrael, Shamar Kamashiros V'Sishbachos Lefanech Lo Asisa Mashiach. Look, let's contrast. David HaMelech sang praises in front of you, and, you know, David HaMelech is the author of praises, meaning the author of Sefer Tehillim. And you didn't make David Mashiach. And meanwhile, for Chizkiyahu, you did all these miracles, and notably, the miracle was the destruction of the entire Assyrian army prior to destroying the Beit HaMikdash. V'lo amar shir lefanecha. And he never said shir in front of you. Taseh Mashiach. And now you're going to make him Mashiach? So Midas HaDin says he doesn't deserve it. Lekach nistasem, nistasem. And that's the closed mem. The closed mem that we read about in the, just a couple of lines earlier, from Yeshayahu Perek Tes. So the closed mem is a description of how there was a thought to make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach. Closed mem. Closed mem to tell us that nistatem, it's closed off. Miad paschaarot v'armer lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam, ani omer sefanecha shira. So, you have now a number of people, but here we're talking about the land, but a number of entities trying to plead on behalf of Chizkiyahu. So the land now says, okay, you know what? Shira, is that the problem? I'll say Shira. Omer Slafanecha Shira Tachas Tzadik. So Zev, Asau Mashiach. And the land says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if I say Shira, then you'll make Chizkiyahu king, right? So Paschava Amar Shir Lefanav Shenemar Michnaf Aretz Miro Shemanu Tzvi Letzadik. So the Gemara quotes another pasuk from Sefer Yeshayahu. Again, in out of context, right? It's hard to understand these nevuahs, but in the context of the Gemara, I mean the Gemara weaving this episode together. So now you understand from the edge of the land. So the land was saying Zmiros to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Do what the righteous person wants, meaning make Chizkiyahu Mashiach. Amr Sar Olam Lefanav Ribbono Shel Olam Tzivyono Asel Tzadik Zeh, and the Sar HaOlam, right, the ministering angel said, let's make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach. Yatza Baschava Amr Razili Razili. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is really simple. I got my secrets. Meaning, I have my reasons why Chizkiyahu is not going to be the Mashiach. I'm not sharing them with everybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, right, my knowledge obviously is omniscient, And for whatever reasons I deem appropriate, Chizkiyahu is not going to be the Mashiach. Amr Navi Oili Oili. I'm sorry. The Navi says, okay, so how long is this going to continue? Meaning, how long are we going to go without a Mashiach? Yatza Baskal V'Amra Bogdim Bagdu Bagad Bogim Bagdu. So, a mysterious answer. There's going to have to be treachery. There's got to be plundering, more plundering, and plundering on top of that. Okay, so obviously the Gemara here, I say obviously because, you know, in retrospect it's easy to say obviously, but the Gemara gives an ambiguous answer in terms of when exactly the Ketz is going to come and when the Mashiach is going to be appointed. But there's going to be a lot of plundering. That little we could say. Masa domeh alai kare misi'ir. Shomer ma mi laila. Shomer ma mila. Okay, the Gemara now turns its attention to another pasuk from Sefer Yeshayahu. And the Gemara here is going to try to help us understand what the pasuk is talking about. Amar Rav Yochanan Oso Malach, Hamemuna ala ruchas doma shmo. The angel appointed over the winds, his name was Doma. Nizkab to call a ruchos etzel Doma. So the ruchos are now approaching Doma. Amar lo shomer ma milayla, shomer ma milal. And the request is, what about this night? As Rashi explains, meaning night over here, obviously being a metaphor, it's referring to galus. How long are we going to be in the galus? Amar shomer asa boker vigam laila. Im tibayun bayushuva asayu. So the Gemara, quoting another pasuk from Yeshayahu, same parak, parak chaf aleph, says that, yeah, morning is going to come. But in other words, but it's going to be a night. In other words, it's going to be a long night. Im tibayun bayushuva asayu. Now, if you request a Kadosh Baruch Hu that it come earlier, so may in fact come earlier. So in other words, you could certainly petition a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but in other words, there is going to be a long night ahead of us. Tana Mishum Rav Papai is Genayu lechizkiyal v'siyata shalo amrushira ashe pascha arts v'amrushira. The Gemara quotes the Brisa and the name of Rav Papai is that it was disgraceful that Chizkiyahu had to allow the arts to say Shira. And again, it's similar to what we learned earlier this morning, condemnation for Chizkiyahu for not saying Shira appropriately. Again, the pasuk we quoted earlier this morning, describing how the land was saying Shira. We have another similar idea where the Shira should have first came out from us, but it didn't. So, Vayomer Yisro Baruch Hashem Asher Hatzil Eschem. Yisro is now praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving. Tana Mishum Rav Papai is Genayhu LaMoshe V'Shishim Ribu Shalo Amar Baruch Ad Sheba Yisro V'Amar Baruch Hu. Now, it's disparaging, it's disgraceful that Moshe, together with the 600,000 Jews, did not say Baruch, but it required Yisro, an outsider, to come in and say Baruch. Now again, it's interesting because obviously we know we did say Shira, meaning Az Yashir. So I think the Gemara's focus is on the word Baruch, but still, it's a little bit intriguing to me how the Moshe and the 600,000 deserved as much condemnation as Chizkiyahu. But Gemara says it. Vayichad Yisro. While mentioning Yisro, so the Gemara does this, the Gemara goes off on a little bit of a tangent, and it says that Yisro was Yichad. Now, what does that mean? So Rav Shmuel, Rav Amar She'avir, Cherev Chada al Besaro. So Rav's understanding is that he took a sharp sword to his skin, otherwise known as the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Meaning, he did Bris Mila, he converted. Shmuel Amar She'nase Chadudim Chadudim, Kol Besaro. His skin got little folds and wrinkles in them. You and I may describe that as goosebumps. But not in the positive sense, meaning in the negative sense. Meaning, Yisro was upset. What upset him so much? The Egyptians died. You see, as we're going to learn in just a moment, he is a descendant of the Egyptians. We'll talk about that momentarily. And so, despite the fact that it's his daughter, and it's his son-in-law, and they were saved, but ultimately, meaning it's the Egyptians who had to die. And that's his family, his biological family. So, Amarav Hanadam, Inchi Gira, Adasari Dare, Lo, Sivaza, Armai, Kamai. And the Gemara says, and here's just another point of sensitivity. So, you see a convert. So don't disparage the non-Jew in front of the convert. Because, meaning, in general, I think just as good midos, we shouldn't do that. But as another level of sensitivity, so you see somebody who converted, don't think, oh, okay, fine, now he turned teams, he's on our team now, so, you know, it's okay to disparage the Armai, the non-Jew, in front of him. No. In other words, it's his biological family, and he still has feelings towards the family, and so you shouldn't say anything disparaging about the non-Jew in front of the convert. And even 10 generations later, meaning even if you're talking about somebody who you're thinking like, oh, he's not going to care, that's 10 generations earlier, no. Now, just as an interesting Rashi over here, Rashi on the bottom of the right-hand column writes, Giyur Adasari Dari Hachi Hu Masho B'nei Adam. It's what people say. And Rashi points out, Umiyo Yisro Lav Asiri Hava. But over here, it's not that Yisro was actually the 10th generation descended from the Egyptians, but in other words, but it's just the Gemara is just borrowing the number, but the number is not to be taken literally. Now you'll notice Rabbi Kiva Eger over here has a comment, and Rabbi Kiva Eger's comment over here is super interesting. He writes, "Uvechaye Parshas Yisro, meaning look at Rabbeinu Bachai and Parshas Yisro. I didn't look it up, but I assume I trust Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Asara Doros Mimitzrayim Ben Cham Ad Yisro. It's actually literally 10 generations from Mitzrayim who was the son of Cham until you get to Yisro. Meaning Rabbeinu Bachai says, no, literally. Literally, it's 10 generations to go from Mitzrayim. That's with this week's Parsha. Meaning we'll be, at the end of this week's Parsha, we'll be reading about the descendants. Cham's son is Mitzrayim, and from Mitzrayim until Yisro is 10 generations. Okay, that's the Gemara over here is to be taken literally. Okay. Lachain. Continuing now in the Gemara, we are on Sadi Dalam and Beis, about three quarters of the way down. It's the sixth wide line on the Amun. Lachain shalach Adon Hashem Tzvakos b'mishmanav razon. So I'm going to hand the fat ones over to the thin. Right? Mishmanav from the word shamein and razon from the word razah. I'm going to hand the fat ones over to the thin. My b'mishmanav razon. I'm Rakash Baruch Hu Yavol Chizkiyahu sheyesh lo shmona shemos v'yiparei misancher sheyesh lo shmona shemos. So Chizkiyahu is going to be the downfall of Sancheriv. Again, the foil, the two of the one is the foil for the other. So now Chizkiyahu didn't actually defeat Sancheriv, as we already discussed. Sancheriv died and his whole army died miraculously, but it'll be through the zechus of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu dechsev ki yelad yulad lanu ben nitan lanu v'tihi hamishra al shichmo v'yikra shmo. Now these are the names of Chizkiyahu, and the Gemara is going to count them as eight, meaning even though they're really four double names, but four times two is eight. So Pelo Yoetz, El Gibor, it's the name, Avi Ad Sar Shalom. Okay, so these are the various names of Chizkiyahu, eight in total. The Gemara says, Vayikra Chizkiyahu. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second, there's actually a ninth name. His name is Chizkiyahu, right? So the Gemara says, that's not a proper name. That's more of an adjective. It's more of a description. Shechazku ka. Kadosh Baruch Hu strengthened his hand. Davar acher, Chizkiyahu shechizik Yisrael avim shebashamayim. Or, another reason why he was described as Chizkiyahu, and called Chizkiyahu, is because he strengthened the Jewish people, as I described earlier, meaning he fortified the Jewish people with limud HaTorah. Sancheriv, dichziv bey. Now the Gemara here notes that Sancheriv also went by eight names. The Gemara now counts. Tiglas, Palasar, Palnasar, Shalman Asar, Pol, Sargon, Asnaper, Rava, Vikara. Asnaper, the great, and the honored. So the Gemara says, those are the eight names of Sancheriv. Now, right, these are all Assyrian words, Assyrian names. So Rashi actually counts up to the number eight. Now, Vayika Sancheriv, the Gemara says, now, wait a second, again, doesn't he have another name? Isn't he referred to as Sancheriv? So the Gemara says, no. Shesichaso Riv. The Gemara says, no. Sancheriv, once again, is not a proper name. It's an adjective. It's a description. It just simply means that he was quarrelsome, even just his conversation. Meaning not only did he fight wars, but even just talking to him. He was a argumentative individual. Dava acher, shesach v'nicher dvarim kape mala. Or another reason why he was called Sancheriv is because he spoke contentiously towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Giduf, he was a blasphemer. I'm Rav Yochum, imne mazacho, so rasha likroso, asnaper rabba v'kara. The Gemara says that, you know, of the names that we described, and we called them asnaper, rabba v'kara, the great and the honored. Why? He never spoke disparagingly against Eretz Yisrael. When Sancheriv took the northern tribe, the 10 northern tribes, and displaced them, so he said to them, I'm going to send you to a land as nice as this one. He did not say nicer. So in other words, he did not speak disparagingly about Eretz Yisrael, and for that, he got a little love. Rabbi Shmuel Chanan Ramelch, Bikei Chava V'Chanan Ramelch Tipei Shaya. Much like the Gemara Megillah, where the Gemara has differing opinions regarding Achashverosh, whether he was really smart or really dumb, so the Gemara over here has a similar debate. Also, Rav Shmuel here, Rav Shmuel over there as well. Gemara over here has a similar debate regarding Sancheriv. Either he was really smart or he was really dumb, and you can actually go in both directions. Laman Damar Melch Bikecha Ya'i Aminalu Adifa Ma'araychu Amru Ka Mishakart. Listen. Let's say he said to the northern kingdom, look, I'm going to send you to a land better than this one. So they, living in Eretz Yisrael, knowing how beautiful Eretz Yisrael is, they're going to look at him and they're going to say, you're a liar. I mean, no way. Now, it's not like he was giving them a choice, by the way. It's not like he was asking them to leave. But still, in other words, it'd be a lot easier if he would have promoted another land better. But he was smarter than that, says the Gemara, because he knows that even if he promoted another land, they look at him and say, no, you're lying. And if you assume that he was a dumb king, so what he should have said was, I'm going to take you to a land better. Meaning, he should have tried to promote another land. And again, it's not like he was giving them a choice, but it would have been easier if he was telling them, I'm taking you to a better place. And the Gemara says, and he was the fact that he didn't say it, just a reflection of his stupidity. Okay. Here comes a simple question of the Gemara, one question that's haunted us now for the last 2,500 years. Hecha igla luhu. All right, so where are they? Okay, this is it, meaning the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Dalet. This is where the Gemara asks a really simple question. Where can we find the 10 lost tribes? Okay, now I doubt any one of us is going to have a definitive answer to that question, right, as we now live 2,500 years after the dispellment of the Jews. Modern historians have it, them being sent into exile in the year 722 before the Common Era. Our timeline, our traditional timeline is a little bit less than that. But okay, 2,700 years ago, 2,500 years ago, whatever the case is. A long time ago, the Northern Kingdom was dispelled. Where were they sent to? Where can we find them? Okay, so the Gemara over here is going to have two suggestions. So, Marzucha Amar L'Africa. Okay, so assuming Africa in the Gemara is the same Africa that we describe as nowadays, so they're somewhere now in Africa. Okay, lends credibility to the claims of the Ethiopian Jews that they were part of the 10 lost tribes. Okay, Rabbi Chanina Amar Lahari Slug. Another suggestion of the Gemara is that they were sent to the mountains of Slug. Don't look to me for any better explanation of geographically where that is. Okay, I'm just, you know, sharing with you the two opinions of the Gemara. Ava Yisrael says, Sapra Bignusa Sha'arit Yisrael. So now, the Gemara is contrasting. On one hand, Sancheirev, where did he get a little bit of love? In the fact that he didn't disparage Eretz Yisrael. However, the Gemara pointed out that they, meaning the Jews themselves, so they disparaged. So Kimato, either Sos or Shosh, okay, I don't know, but when they got to the place of Shosh, meaning we're describing now the Northern Kingdom being sent into exile, Amre Shavya Ki Arin. You know, it's just like Eretz Yisrael. Kimate Almin, Amre Ki Almin. And then we got to the place called Almin, so they said, oh, you know what? It's just like our homeland. Kimate Shosh Trey. Now they got to a place called Shosh Trey. Okay, Shosh the second. Amre Al-Khatrein. They said this place is two times better than Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so even though Sancheirev was cautious about not putting any land greater than above Eretz Yisrael, so the Gemara, however, says that wasn't true for the northern tribes who were actually sent into the diaspora. V'tachas kvodo, yakod yakod ki yakod esh. And underneath kvodo, underneath their honor. This takes us back to a pasuk that we said a little bit earlier this morning. Right, we quoted the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Most of our pasukim this morning are from Yeshayahu. We quoted the pasuk from Yeshayahu that read earlier, "Lachen shalach Adon Hashem tzvakos b'mishmanav razon." I'm going to hand over the fat to the thin, meaning Sancheirev is going to die and be handed over to Chizkiyahu. And this is now the end of that very pasuk. V'sachas kvado yikad yikod ki yikod eish. And underneath their honor, they're going to be burnt. What does that mean? I'm Rav Yochanan Tachas Kvoda V'lo Kvoda Mamish. It means that even though miraculously a fire burnt and consumed the entire Assyrian army, but not the clothing of the Assyrian army, Kihad Rav Yochanan Karila Lamane Machburasai. The Gemara notes over here that when Rav Yochanan referring to his clothing, we saw this Gemara back in Shabbos, his clothing he referred to as that which honors me. Meaning you wear nice clothing and you'll look dignified. And Rav Yochanan referred to his clothing as Machbodasai. And over here, when the pasuk describes how tachas kvodi they were burnt, it means that which is under the cover is the clothing, and underneath that is that which they were burnt. Rav Elazar amar tachas kvodo mamish, and Rav Elazar says no. It means that when it says tachas kvodo, it doesn't even mean the clothing. It means their bodies. Meaning, their bodies weren't burnt. You know what was taken? Their neshamas were taken. But the bodies were not burnt. And the Gemara says this is not unprecedented. Kisrefas b'nei Aaron. Ma'ala halon srefas neshama v'guf kayim avkan. Srefas neshama v'guf kayim. Nada v'aviyu. So when they were burnt, it was just the neshamas that were burnt. The neshamas were singed. But the bodies were still intact. At least according to one opinion here in our Gemara, same thing was true regarding the army of Sancheriv. Tana mishmei de Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Paro shechiriv ba'atzmo nifra kash baruch hu mimena ba'atzmo. Paro, when blaspheming towards the kash baruch hu, did so directly. Sancheriv shechirev. The ayidei shliach nifra kash baruch hu mimena ayidei shliach. But you see, Sancheriv, when he blasphemed, he didn't do so directly, but he did so through a messenger, and therefore, when Akash Baruch Hu exacts retribution against Sancheriv, he does not so do so directly, indirectly. Rashi points out, it's more disparaging, it's more of a disgrace to be indirectly retributed against, meaning, to a certain degree, obviously this is all relatively speaking, but Paro was better, again, relatively speaking, in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to deal with him himself and didn't just simply send a messenger. The Gemara now makes this point. Paro dechziv be'mi Hashem asher ashma b'kolo. So his blasphemy comes directly from Paro to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nifra HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimena ba'atzma dechziv v'ayinah Hashem as Mitzrayim b'soch hayam. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exacting revenge against Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it himself, b'chvodo v'atzmo. Uksiv derechzo b'yam susecha. Sancheriv dechziv b'yad malachecha cherpas Hashem. So, but Sancheriv, he did it al yedei, a messenger. He sent a messenger to speak disparagingly against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nifra HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimeno al yedei shliach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, in kind, only sends a messenger to attack Sancheriv and his army. The pasuk over here describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent an angel to destroy the 185,000 soldiers of Sancheriv. Okay. There are two accounts in Tanakh that describe the episode of Sancheriv and Chizkiyahu. So one is in Malachim Beis and the other one is in Sefer Yeshayahu. There is subtle discrepancies in which it's described in Malachim Beis versus the way it's described in Yeshayahu. So, and the Gemara now is going to note the subtle discrepancies and point out that we can explain these subtle discrepancies. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Ramiksev Marom Kitso. So the Gemara here quotes from Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Zayin. That when Sancheriv claimed what he was going to do, so Marom Kitso, Sancheriv says, "I'm going to bring an end to the Marom." Now Uksiv. Now, if you look at a similar description, but this is now in Malachim Beis, in the 19th parak of Malachim Beis, it says Malon Kitso. So obviously a subtle discrepancy. Amar Osa Rasha B'tchila Achriv Dirasha Mata. So Marom and Malom is basically first floor, second floor. Meaning that for the Beis HaMikdash that we have on this earth, or that we had on this earth, there was a parallel spiritual Beis HaMikdash up in Shammai. Again, I'm explaining this to the best of my understanding. So what Sancheriv was saying is, I'm going to destroy both. The one Malon, meaning the one down here, and Marom, the one upstairs as well. Amr of Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsev atami b'ladei Hashem alisi ala makom hazeh la'ashchiso. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi quotes the pasuk. This too is from Malachim Beis. So Sancheriv makes the claim that I was instructed to destroy. Hashem amar elai alai ala aretz hazos v'ishchitza my he. Now, where did he get this? In other words, and the obvious assumption is that Sancheriv himself was not a Navi. So he was never directly instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy. So the Gemara wants to know, where is this coming from? Dikamar. So he overheard the Navi say the following. Yanki masa hamazeh es mei hashiloch ha'ochim la'at u'mishosh es ritzin uven rimal yahu. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Pasuk is taken from Yeshayahu, and now the Gemara is going to be trying to. The Gemara is understanding that we don't have an understanding of this pasuk. The pasuk is describing the Me'ah Shiloh that's going slowly, and Ritzin and Ben Remaliahu, and what is going on over here. I'm Rav Yosef Amale Targuma da Haikra Lo Havayadana Mai Ka'amar. Rav Yosef says, had it not been there for a Targum on this pasuk, we would not know what's flying in this pasuk. And you'll just notice, I noticed, that Rav Yosef, the Amora, was the one who always says Targum on Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Right? The Targum on Chumash is Unklus, but then the Targum on after that was primarily edited by Rav Yosef. So he says, look, without Targum over here, I wouldn't know what's going on. And I assume that the Targum that he has was part of the Masorah.
It's interesting because in the art scroll, they mentioned that Rav Yosef was blind.
Yes.
He felt compelled not to quote the Torah directly by scripture, but recited indirectly through Targum.
Oh, in other words, he primarily did Targum. Oh, very good. Very good. So, lo yahavadam my kamar. So, chalop the kates ama hadema machusa de beis David, de medaber lohon benayach, kemei shilocha. The Nagdin Benayach. Oh, so pshat in the pasuk. So what the Jewish people rejected was a king who led them just like the Meshiloch. The Meshiloch, the spring waters of the Shiloach, run smoothly, and that was David when leading the Jewish people. He led them smoothly. And by David, we really mean Beis David, meaning the Davidic dynasty. Right? At that point in time, we're at Chizkiyahu. And they rejected him. The Yisrael Beritzinu Bar Remaliahu. And meanwhile, who did they choose? They chose our enemies, Ritzin and Bar Remaliahu, and that's what the pasuk means in Yeshayahu. I'm Rav Yochanan Ma'idichsev Meres Hashem Beveis Rasha V'Navet Zadigim Yivarach. The Gemara now explains what the pasuk here is describing. Meres Hashem Beveis Rasha Zepekach Ben Remaliahu Shaya Ochel Mem Sa'a Gozlos Bikunuch Se'uda. So on one hand, you have the enemy Pekach Ben Remaliahu of the Assyrian army, and his dessert was 400 birds that he ate at the dessert of a meal. Okay, perhaps an exaggeration, but certainly the idea being communicated is that he was a glutton, and we're describing his dessert. On the other hand, contrast that with the Chizkiyahu. His entire meal was a salad. Okay. Next time you think of disparaging anyone having a salad as a meal, so it's good to remember this Gemara. Okay, I'm speaking to myself. Okay, v'lachein, hinei Hashem mala aleim es mei hanar ha'atzumim v'harabim es melech Ashur. The Gemara quotes again, more from Yeshayahu. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring about you a nar ha'atzumim v'harabim es melech Ashur, the Assyrian king. Uksiva chalav Yehuda shatav avar ad tzavar yagia, and you're going to be up to your neck. Elamai tama I anish. So the Gemara now wants to know. So why was he punished? Meaning, so basically what we have is the Jewish people deserving to be attacked by the Assyrians. So the Gemara's question over here is why was Sancheriv, and for that matter, his entire army of 185,000 soldiers. So why were they all punished? So the Gemara says, Navi Aseres HaShvatim is Navi. Iu Yavdai Te'akuli Yerushalayim. So the Gemara explains that really what the Navi was doing was prophesizing only on the northern kingdom. Meaning, yes, by right, Sancheriv did have the authority and the prophecy to destroy the Jewish people, but only the northern kingdom, meaning only the Aseres HaShvatim. But he was not given authorization to destroy Yerushalayim, the southern kingdom. Iu yavdate akula Yerushalayim. So he was thinking about destroying all of Yerushalayim. Banavi v'amalei kilo ma'of la'asher mutzak la. So the Navi said to him, no, it's not the southern kingdom, not Yerushalayim. Am Rav Elazar bar Berechia einim sar. Am ayef b'Torah b'yad mi hamatzik lo. So, and the Gemara goes on to explain that no, meaning that you are not going to be given this tired nation. Tired nation over here is meant in a complimentary fashion. It means to say that they're the ones who are exhausted by learning Torah. The Gemara says that in a positive way. And the people exhausted by learning Torah, again, going back to an idea which I expressed earlier this morning, that Chizkiyahu really brought about a resurgence of the learning of Torah, and they're not going to be handed over to you. Meaning they're too engrossed in the study of Torah. Okay. Maike Esar Rishon HaKel Artsa Zvulon Va'artsa Naftali Va'acharon Hichbid Derech Hayam Ever HaYardin Galil HaGoyim Loka Rishon HaShekila Ma'alem Ol Torah. Not like the older generations who took off the yoke of Torah, Aval Achronim Sheichbiru Alem Ol Torah, but they took on the study of Torah. Urin Ala La'asos Amneska Over HaYam Chedorche HaYardin, because of their study of Torah. So a miracle as great as Kriyas Yamsuf, as great as the crossing of the Yarden River, Im Chozer Bo Mutav. So the Navi finally says to Sancheirev, now's the time for you to turn around. Meaning, don't go down any further. You got the northern kingdom, you were authorized to do so, fine. But that's it. V'imlav ani aselo galug bagoyim. However, if you continue to pursue further and go down to the southern kingdom and try to attack Chizkiyahu and Yehuda, so you're going to be made into Galil. Exactly what that means. So Rashi over here offers two pshatim. Rashi says, V'imlav aselo so galil hagoyim shemagagal becherpa b'chol hagoyim. You're going to be embarrassed in front of the other nations. Lishna achrina, galil lashon galalim. Or you're going to be turned into basically manure, excrement. Okay. All right. More to say about Sancheirev, and it's coming up tomorrow. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.